This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. We're joined now by Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette, our Steelers insider, and he's brought to us by Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG. Build on relationships, credibility, and integrity. Real quick, before we get to Ray, people really like the bleep tweet segment. One suggestion from a texter, which I think is worth exploring: you need to have kids or sweet old ladies say the tweets.
Yeah, maybe we'll have our kids do it.
That would be sick. Sister Jean, some 96-year-old lady, RIP grandma, reading the tweets. She would have been perfect.
Yep.
Miss her every day.
Man.
Ray Fittipaldo joins us now. What a transition. How are you, Ray? Good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well.
Happy to hear it. So you sat in on Tomlin's presser yesterday, and have you been at all of his press conferences? I mean, certainly for like a decade here, right? I mean, is your read that it's going to be Russell Wilson on Sunday?
Yeah, absolutely, guys. I'm not sure why he kind of left it out there that there's some doubt about it, but everything he said in that news conference yesterday points to Russell Wilson starting. And I go back there. There was a series in the second quarter, guys, where Justin missed three wide open receivers. And, you know, we have in Allegiant Stadium, we are high in the press box, and you can see how plays develop. And I'm thinking any NFL quarterback is going to make two out of those three throws. He didn't make any of them. And there was another play, guys, I think right after the block punt, the lateral to Jaylen Warren. I mean, that play just cannot happen. So I think Mike and Arthur probably took a look at those plays and, you know, the slow starts, and I think they probably came to the determination that it was time to give Russ a shot.
Do you think we will still see Fields? Do you think he's just holding a clipboard and he has his helmet off and he's the true backup quarterback, or will he be a part of this offense on Sunday?
No, I think they're going to have a plan to get him in the game. Now, I mean, it's not going to be, you know, hey, Justin's going to go in on the third series. They're not going to do that, but I think you look at where he's been most successful. That's been in goal-to-go situations. He leads the NFL among quarterbacks with five rushing touchdowns. So, you know, anytime you're inside the 10, inside the 5, I think it's a perfect spot to use him. It's probably going to be week-to-week, opponent to opponent, to see, you know, how these matchups go. But, yeah, I do think we'll see Justin on the field again. I'm not sure if it's going to happen every game, but I do think it'll happen.
Ray Fittipaldo joining us here in the Fan Morning Show. Ray, I was really encouraged to hear Mike Tomlin say, we've been good, really good at times, not to be confused with great. And if he thinks that Russell Wilson can help make their passing game look great at times, then okay, I'm okay with it. Are they going to allow Russell Wilson to be aggressive?
Yeah, I think so. You know, a couple games ago, they were breaking their tendencies on throwing on first down with Justin. They didn't hit on him. And, you know, Arthur Smith runs play action, I think, more than any other offensive coordinator in the league. Justin is not good at that, but Russell is really good at that. At least he has been, you know, throughout his career before he got to Pittsburgh. So I think you'll see an uptick, certainly, in the passing game. Are you going to lose something with Justin's ability to break down defenses with his feet? Absolutely. But I do think Mike and Arthur are banking on Russell hitting a lot of these throws that Justin's been missing. And then just overall explosive plays, right? You know, getting George Pickens more involved, getting him involved early in games, getting leads in games early rather than always chasing it. I think all of those are things that potentially could happen with Russ at quarterback.
What if Russ is bad? What if he doesn't perform and he doesn't perform next week? What do you think they do? Do they go back to Justin or do they ride it out with Russ?
You know, I think certainly there's going to be some rust, Doran. I don't think it's going to look perfect on Sunday night. But if you're talking about like an extended stretch, let's say Mike gives him a 4-game stretch and, you know, they're 1-3 and it doesn't look good. I mean, listen, Justin has proven that they can win with him at quarterback. I think they could go back to him without any issue. But, you know, as long as Russ's calf doesn't give him any issues, I think Russ is going to be able to operate within this offense and have some success with his passing game. Obviously, you know, the receiver room is still an issue, but Arthur has gotten it done before in Tennessee with a lot of tight ends. I mean, if you guys watch that Raiders game, I mean, 2 tight end personnel was their base offense in that game. I think Pat was in there like 89% of the snaps and Darnell was in there like 75% of the snaps. I mean, even Connor Hayward was like up around 35-40%. They ran more 3 tight personnel than 3 receiver personnel in that game. So he's very comfortable doing that. I think there are ways for him to get around the lack of talent at the receiver position.
Speaking of wide receivers, Ray, what is your understanding on this whole Davante Adams thing? Was it simply he wanted to go to the Jets and the Steelers may well have been willing to pay that asking price? Would the Steelers have gone there if he would have wanted to be here?
And I think the Steelers were interested, but when you have a relationship like Davante Adams has with Aaron Rodgers going back, I think what they played together 8 or 9 years in Green Bay, that's where Davante had most of his success. So it makes sense that Davante would want to play there. It's interesting, you know, from a, you know, players always say we want to win Super Bowls. That, you know, it's not about the money, but I mean, the Jets are 2-4. The Steelers are 4-2. There's time for the Jets to turn it around, but there's a lot of chaos going on up there. Sometimes it's not about winning. Sometimes it's just about a comfort level and putting up stats for your next contract. And I think that's probably where Davante is right now.
Will the Steelers trade for a receiver before the deadline?
I mean, who's left? You know, I keep hearing the Mike Williams thing. You know, I've said this since August when all this Brandon Ayuk stuff was going on. They don't need another number 3 or a number 4. They need like a 1 or a 2. And I just don't know after Ayuk and after Adams and after Sutton have been taken care of that there are good guys left to obtain. So I'm starting to think it won't happen. And, then the pressure's going to be on, you know, Arthur Smith. Can he get it done with the personnel that he has right now? And, you know, obviously the running back room has to get healthier. That's been an issue. Jaylen Warren has to get going. You know, if the running game's better, maybe it'll open up things for the passing game and George Pickens. So they've just been dealing with a lot of injuries and, you know, things have kind of been uneven with that offense. They need to get healthy. And they need George Pickens to step up. I think that's the biggest thing with this offense going into the second half of the season.
Ray, there was so much other stuff going on yesterday. Adams, Cooper, Fields v. Wilson. I may have missed this. Did he mention Alex Highsmith when he went over the injury report?
Yeah.
Okay. He's gonna play questionable.
Questionable to begin the week. We'll see what happens today. You know, last week, Jaylen Warren was doubtful to begin the week, and then he ended up playing 25 snaps. So, I mean, if they can get Alex out there and there's no, you know, threat of him getting injured again, if they feel really good about where he is with that groin, that'd be a huge help because it's really just Jeremiah Moon and, you know, those practice squad guys. So I'm sure they're going to be careful, but certainly good news that there's at least the potential that Alex could return this week.
Well, they don't have a choice, but what do you think their comfort level is with McCollum that is going to be playing center this week with Zach Frazier being out?
Yeah, I mean, from what Mike said yesterday, you know, pretty good. It's not like he just walked in the building like that situation you had at outside linebacker last week. Ryan has been in this program now for 2 or 3 years, and he's been a practice squad guy for most of that, but certainly he's familiar with Pat Meyer and the way Pat Meyer operates. You know, he's been with this new offensive staff here for the last 6 months. So, listen, you know, Zach is probably going to be out the next two games. I think it makes sense to get him back after the bye week. If you can get by for two games with McCollum at center, if he could just be solid for two games, I think that's all they're asking for.
Ray, very good stuff. This was tremendous. Mm-hmm. We thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you on
all
Tuesday.
Right, guys.
Or Wednesday.
Enjoy the game Sunday night. See you.
See you, Ray.
See you, Ray.
If the Steelers wanted Alex Highsmith to play this weekend, all they need to do is fly him out to Las Vegas and then fly him to New Jersey, because that's what worked for Davante Adams.
Right.
Davante Adams walks off the plane, and it was like, I heard Starkey say this yesterday, it's like Wonka in the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
It's like when the grandpa, he's bedridden, and all of a sudden, whoa!
They got the golden ticket.
Oh my God, he's singing, he's dancing, there's no atrophy. My man's never walked that way in 15 years. Davante, wow, oh, this air in New Jersey.
I mean, he had to get a physical, too, which is funny. It's like, oh, pending physical, Davante Adams to sign with the New York Jets. And I was like, oh, man, that hamstring, what if he fails?
Right. I mean, would think he could.
Yeah, he could.
A very serious hamstring injury. Jeez. I can't, honestly, man, I have a lot of respect for everyone in this field, right? But these insiders that bent over backwards. No, it's a real hamstring injury. It's real. He's real hurt. If the Raiders were 5-1 or 4-1, whatever it would have been, playing the Steelers, he wouldn't want out. They'd be winning football games and he'd have played.
Hamstring injuries don't heal in 2 weeks or 1 week.
Well, those bad boys can linger.
Yeah, look at the Herbig.
Mm-hmm. You got to be careful with the hammy injury.
Yes, hamstrung.
That's right. No longer.
Right.
Walks off the plane. Ran off the plane.
Yes.
Right into the...
Jumped.
He was leaping.
He jumped.
This guy.
Leapt off the plane.
He's going to catch a deep ball from Rod. You know what it's going to be? Give me one of those back shoulder throws on the sideline. He's going to be in a dead sprint. Bah, break it down. Back shoulder. He's going to be fine.
Yep.
Beyond fine. Last year, he had, 170-some-odd yards against the Steelers? Double-digit catches? Awesome. The Browns traded Amari Cooper to the Buffalo Bills. I think that's good for the Steelers and bad for the Steelers all in one fell swoop. We'll tell you how when we come back. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Remember that back half of the Steelers' schedule and all the angst? Oh, God, what are they going to do? The Browns, man, they are so bad. They are 1-5. I brought this stat up a couple of times today because it makes me chuckle internally every time I bring it up. The second most sacked quarterback in football is Caleb Williams. He's been sacked 20 times. Deshaun Watson's been sacked 31 times.
That's
in six games. So you do the math, that'd be 62 times in 12 games, and then you throw another 30. This guy gets sacked 85 times at this rate, and I think they want that to happen. I think they want him to get sacked a whole bunch.
So he gets banged up?
Yeah, because you're not allowed to bench him if you're Stefanski. And then they trade Amari Cooper, who was like one flashing itty-bitty little glimmer of hope in that offense. And so that's good for the Steelers, right? Because this Browns team you should beat up on a couple of times now is a lesser Browns team than the dog crap they've been. But Buffalo gets strengthened.
Right.
And you don't play Buffalo, but...
You probably would if you do make it.
Yes. So the good thing, hey, couple of games against Cleveland where, like, you better win. You better beat them twice. But if and when you meet Buffalo in the playoffs, they got that much harder to play against. I think that's the missing piece for the Bills.
Like, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Get rid of Diggs, and they got crushed in the, you know, during the draft by not drafting Worthy in the first round and not addressing receiver, and then they draft a kid from Florida State, and it's like, okay. Like,
Ricky Pearsall winds up going to no, he went to the 49ers. Yeah, who's the guy thank you, Xavier Worthy. Yeah. Did you just say that?
I did, yeah. He went to Kansas City.
I'm paying attention.
Yeah, you let Kansas City get that guy, so. Yeah, they needed it. Yeah, they absolutely did. They're going to be all right. Jeez.
That is what you would call a plan coming to fruition.
Yes.
It's a tough tightrope to walk. Like, you knew that there would be receivers available before the deadline, and hell, we're 3 weeks out from the deadline, or two and a half weeks away from the NFL trade deadline, and they knew all along you'd have to think Buffalo, they were going to get a guy. You would think that the Steelers view it the same way. And again, there is still time to get it done. But now it's not just you. It's you and Ray who both don't think that they're going to get something done before the deadline. And let me tell you, if they don't, that's disaster stuff.
I mean, who is it going to be that would make sense? They're not going to just trade somebody and trade picks for just a guy. They need a number one. They need a big-time receiver, unless it's DK Metcalf, honestly.
Yeah.
That's the only name I could think of that would make sense. And I don't think that Seattle's willing to give up DK Metcalf right now because they're still in it.
Yeah, I don't think DK is a realistic option.
No.
And then you come back to he's all man. Adam's been all man. Amari Cooper's actually, I think, kept his head held high. He had a weird moment with the media, but he's not acting out on the sideline.
He's a quiet guy anyways. He just kind of puts his head down and works.
That's why it was so surprising whenever he said what he said, kind of going after the media the way that he did. Any of the guys that you would bring in are disgruntled there, and you've already got a guy who's been disgruntled here. So I don't know that bringing in it's not malcontent, but a guy who's not exactly happy and then expecting that he would be happy here would necessarily work out anyhow.
I mean, it would literally, if there's any possibility, it would have to be the Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams route. Like, it would have to be somebody that's very familiar with Russell Wilson. It would have to be a DK Metcalf, like you said earlier, Tyler Lockett or Cortland Sutton. Like that's the only way where a player would be like, okay, and you would feel comfortable with doing that. And if that even with like that's so far fetched though, like that's so like not even going to happen, but that's the only way I could see that happening.
I mean,
there's nobody else. I mean, like everybody else is just a guy.
Right. You said it earlier about Mike Williams, and I agree. Like, I think they might get Mike Williams, but he didn't change much. I think he's better than what they got, but that's because what they got ain't great. Like, an upgrade is necessary. And just about anything would be an upgrade, but we're talking about a needle mover. We're talking about a trajectory changer. Mike Williams is neither of those things. I don't think DeAndre Hopkins would be that. From a name standpoint, that would be a needle mover, but I don't think he's a trajectory
changer. He's my age.
Is he really?
No, but he's just a little bit younger. I mean, he's old. He runs like I do right now.
Do you think it would have taken your calf as long to recover as Russ's?
Right now?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I wouldn't be able to walk for a year. I'd be all messed up.
You know what would feel good, I bet, is a calf massage.
It is good. Really good.
I don't like the way that the massage gel works with the hair.
What?
I don't like how it mats my leg hair. I don't like that.
It's too much hair.
I am a hairy guy. I saw Pony at the West Virginia Penn State tailgate, and we all had fun. It's all about fun. Just got to have fun. I saw Pony at the tailgate. I was wearing a polo, and I had all the buttons undone. He's like, damn, you are hairy.
Yeah, you are. You should get LASIK or something. Well, not LASIK. You should get that lasered off.
Oh, yeah.
A bikini laser.
Oh.
Or Nair. Does Nair work?
I don't know. You ever smelled Nair?
No.
Oh, buddy.
Is it bad?
My wife tried.
Does it work, though?
Yeah, it works. It ain't good. It's all chemicaled out. It's gross.
So what do you do? Just spray it on then wipe?
I didn't do it for myself. My wife did it. She didn't feel like shaving her legs. She would come back at college, right? And she'd be drinking out on, Bootleggers or something. And every time she'd come back drunk, shower, shave, and then her legs would get all chewed up.
Uh-huh.
She said, I'm going to try Nair. and it smells like death.
Does it really?
Yeah.
But it works.
Yeah, I mean, the hair comes off. You gotta scrub it.
Oh, man.
It's real gross.
Yeah, no.
I was not hairy until like 5 years ago.
Get the heck out of here.
Seriously.
I had
this like happy trail on my belly button, and now I look like a tarantula. I don't know what happened.
Look, Sasquatch.
A little Sasquatch.
A tarantula.
I do. The limbs flailing about as I gesticulate all hairy. All right.
Did you say hairy?
There's less hair on that guy than on me.
That's not true.
That's not true.
Oh.
There's more surface area.
That's what I thought. Hair. I thought there was more surface area and less hair, which is an impressive feat for one hairy callus.
I think there's more hair with the surface. You just, there's
more skin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Respectfully.
Yeah.
He's eating his Awaken 180 cereal over there, too, by the way.
Yeah, what is it? Blueberry cereal?
Mixed berry. It's mixed berry flavored cereal, and it's tremendous.
It smells very good.
I wish I could have it with milk, but I need to drink it with almond milk.
I love almond milk.
Almond milk's good. It's better than regular milk.
Yeah, and you can keep it in your cupboard for a long time.
Not in the fridge?
Well, once you open it, it can go in the fridge, but if you buy it at the store, you can just leave it on your cupboard.
Nah.
Yeah, you can.
No, you buy it in the cold section.
Not me. I go to Trader Joe's. It's in the warm section.
I don't know about that.
It is.
No, it's not.
Don't you dare.
I don't think it is.
You ain't matching Trader Joe's wits with me, my friend.
I don't know if that's right.
I can walk into a Trader Joe's blindfolded, and I will find everything I need. And you know what I need is happiness. I'll find it there every time.
There.
All right, coming up next, a very special guest. We've got Doug Whaley in from 9 o'clock until 10. Real quick, Doran, the text line have some unkind things to say about Nair, including one dude who says he accidentally Naired off his nipple hair.
It's not good.
I don't know how that accidentally happens, but my guess is you think it's shampoo or body wash or something.
Right.
What a transition forthcoming here. Pitt volleyball. Number one in the country, six straight weeks. Taking on 9-time national champion Stanford coming up on Sunday. Cal on Friday night. The head coach, Dan Fisher, joins us right now. Good morning to you, Dan. How you doing today?
Good morning. Doing well.
Happy to hear it. And, Coach, when we talked last time, it was before or right after you guys took on Penn State. And I asked you how you measure yourself as a program, and you said, hey, when you got here, it was about making tournaments, and now it's about winning national championships, and you match up against some of the great programs. Is that how you're viewing Stanford? Not that you're looking ahead of Cal or anything, but is that how you view the Stanfords of the world when you get a chance to have them at your place?
You know, we're excited to play a good team, and we just look at it as a test, you know, like, you know, to see where we're at. You know, we want to be a team that's constantly getting better. So this can kind of be a marker for that.
Coach, you suffered your first loss of the season a few days ago against SMU. How has the response from your team been this week in practice?
Well, we've only had one, so I'll get back to you in a couple of days, but you know, I think we had been going hard for a long time, a lot of midweek games, and so, you know, we didn't play our best, and SMU is a very good team at home, and it was one of those games where, you know, we scored more points than them, we hit for a higher percentage, but they won in the stat that mattered.
Did you guys talk about being a team that wanted to go undefeated, or is that not something that you guys talk about, and can you spin a loss then positively as something you can grow from?
No, we never talked about wanting to go undefeated. We definitely have talked about wanting to be a top four seed so we could potentially host, you know, all the way through until the Final Four. And so you can't lose a lot of games if you want to do that. But no, we're obviously we don't want to lose, but we're going to look at our failures head on and get better from it.
Coach, how much different has the home games been for you and your team? Meaning Sunday against Stanford is sold out. I mean, a lot of people are coming to games. And how much different is the atmosphere now that you guys are the number one team in the country whenever you play home games?
Yeah, the fans have been better. You know, every game's almost been a sellout. Stanford will be a sellout. And so I just feel like these are the kind of environments we had maybe later, like in the last two seasons, but we're getting them early, and it's been incredible. You know, and we're also, you know, I think probably the number one ranking is working against us a little bit on the road, because we're going to pack houses on the road.
That makes a ton of sense, and you guys are all over ESPN as well. Coach, we really appreciate you jumping on with us. Best of luck this weekend. Can't wait to see you guys on Sunday against Stanford.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Take Coach.
Care. Coach Dan Fisher.
All right, bye-bye.
One of the best programs going right now.
Yeah, they, I mean, you're going to lose, and sometimes losing is okay. You see how you respond. That's why I asked them the question about this week in practice, and you know, it's uncharted territories for this year. I mean, they only lost one set up until losing that game
insane.
The other day. So all their things that they want to accomplish are in front of them still. So, you know, this team is a juggernaut, and they work at it every single day, and they compete at the highest level. And, you know, Friday's going to be a good match against Cal, and then you're back home again on Sunday against a really good Stanford school that has been playing at a high level for years now. So everything's still in front of them, and they still have a chance to be number one whenever it's all said and done.
Absolutely. And someone texted in, they should move the Stanford match to the Pete. They'll do that, but encouraging, it sounded like for Dan, that with every game, every match, it seems like more and more people are packing that place, which is cool to see. I think they're going to win the national championship. I don't want to say that to him. I don't want to put that on him.
I've never uttered those words because I don't want to jinx it.
I don't think I can jinx Pitt.
No, you're allowed.
I think you're allowed
to say it.
Yeah, I can say that.
Yeah.
I think Pitt football is going undefeated. Maybe I'm trying to jinx them. Coming up next, we'll go around the NFL. Tom Brady is a very rich man. So rich, it makes me want to puke. Also, there'll be a special guest at this Sunday's Steelers-Jets game. We'll tell you who and what they might be doing. Going around the NFL, brought to you by Champ Tires, all brands in every size. We'll get to Tom Brady in a moment. First, though, 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Real quick, this isn't political, but it is newsworthy. Donald Trump will be at the Steelers-Jets game on Sunday Night Football, and word is that he'll be working at a drive-thru McDonald's, doing one of those kind of deals.
Yep.
You worked at a Cold Stone.
Yes.
I worked at Brugger's Bagels.
Mm-hmm.
You worked for how long?
What, 2 months?
Didn't you quit when the whole, was it Rutgers came in?
Wisconsin,
that's what it was. They came in and all started ordering that Cold Stone Creamery ice cream.
Well, yeah, I mean, I obviously had to scoop the ice cream and then ring everybody out. And Bob Pelko, my high school coach at the time, I was a junior in high school, and you know, Wisconsin just offered, and they were in town, and there's like five coaches there. And at Cold Stone, what you do whenever you tip,
that's right.
You have to sing. And, and there's like Flintstones themes one, Cold Stone, here at Cold Stone. Da, da, da. And they kept doing it, and it embarrassing me, and everybody thought it was really funny. And then the last one, you know, put a little quarter, whatever it was, in there, and I looked at him and said, I am not going to Wisconsin. And they laughed, and I was like, I'm not laughing.
I'm not kidding.
No, I'm not going to Wisconsin.
It's cold up there, and you're annoying me.
Yes.
I feel like your wrists, your what are these called?
Forearms.
Forearm muscle. I don't have any. I feel like your forearm muscles get just yoked up at Cold Stone.
They do.
I remember the first paycheck I ever got at Brugger's. I worked like 6 hours and the taxes come out. It was
yes.
like 11:57. Right. I was like, Dad. And he's like, welcome to adulthood. Get back in there and bake.
That's basically what I said. I took a pint of ice cream home and I got my first check and it was like $13. I was like, this ain't worth it.
I'm going to go out on the street corner and sell the ice cream there.
Yeah, I'm going to go play football.
Make more than 30. Oh, that would work. Just not at Wisconsin. Right. That's not going to happen. How about Tom Brady? Actually, real quick. Antonio Brown also going to be at this game.
That's right.
And AB is trying to get people to register to vote. And I think he got confused. I think he heard poll workers and thought something else was going on.
Probably.
You know, he tailgated with Donnie Football?
Yes.
And so did Le'Veon Bell.
Yes.
I heard yesterday, I forget which show, it might have been Starkey. I think it was Batco. Batco said, man, I can't believe both guys showed up. He's like, I could have seen one guy not be there, both guys not be there. He's like, I would not have thought both dudes would show up. I never thought Le'Veon had problems, by the way.
No.
Like, I just wanted to say it. Le'Veon was a good guy. Is a good guy. He's on OnlyFans now. But AB, not a good guy. Like, and I feel like sometimes those dudes get conflated. I never had, and I had a lot of dealings with Le'Veon. I never found him to be a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to get that out there.
Yeah, I'm surprised AB showed up because he's famous for never showing up.
Yeah. I could see him showing up and then immediately quitting on everyone.
Seen that
one happen. Uh-huh. Three different teams, I think that happened.
Yes.
For one Antonio Brown.
Yeah, Raiders, Patriots, and Bucks.
Le'Veon on the OnlyFans. And somebody, I like retweeted it, and somebody responded to me and was like, do you think there's nudity? Dude, I don't know.
Hey, I thought you said you did know. You subscribed.
I did not.
Yes, you did. He showed me. You're like, look at this.
We do know he was good at hitting the hole. Tom Brady, 5% owner now of the Las Vegas Raiders, Doran. Him and his partner went in, 10% stake, 5% owner now of the Raiders. So Tom Brady's playing career now officially over, as if it wasn't already. You were telling me about some of these parameters now with the broadcast. Like, he can't do anything anymore.
Can't go to production meetings. You know, he can't be, like, one-sided on the broadcast of, like, saying that he's, like, you know more for a certain team or anything. I mean, there's so many different things. Like, he can't talk to anybody. Can't be in anybody's facility.
Huh.
He's basically just showing up and calling games.
You know what? Ain't that the life?
I mean, a little bit. We did the math. I mean, and we did the kind of the estimate of what a 5% stake would get in revenue.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And if they sold the team for $1 billion at some point, he would get $50 million, excuse me. If it were $2 billion, $100 million, you get it.
Yeah.
And I think if that franchise ever were sold and out of the Davis hands, that it would wind up. Yeah.
Well, they're worth
for $2 billion or more.
They're worth $6.7 right now.
Oh!
$6.7 billion right now. And revenue, they did around $780 million. So you do 5% of that, then you can see where Tom Brady is also going to make money doing broadcast over $100 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
Living the good life.
Yeah, good for him.
Texter, what good is 5% seriously? Well, we just told you. I'm not sure Davis is going to be selling the Raiders anytime soon, but if he did, we're talking about a 700-ish, as you just said, billion-dollar or $7 billion franchise, you're making hundreds of millions of dollars. So that's what it's worth. Plus, now, you get to do all the broadcast. You get to walk in, sit down, do the game, and leave. You don't have to go the day before and interview people. You're not going to these meetings.
Nope.
You just sit down, talk about football, and make money. It ain't bad.
No.
Obviously, the Raiders traded Davante Adams to the New York Jets, and you said that Mark Davis said that they traded what Adams to
the Jets for a third round pick and Tom Brady.
There you go.
That's what they got in return.
I was buffering there.
Yeah.
My brain really shut off.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of texts like this. Little suspect Crowley knows Le'Veon is on OnlyFans. I follow him on Twitter and he tweeted it. I followed him on Twitter and he tweeted it. I don't need that. Fan Morning Show Twitter polls brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. TrustPJ.com. We'll start here with Doug Whaley when he joins us for the 9 o'clock hour. Twitter poll is this. What's more important for the Steelers in 2024, winning a playoff game or seeing if Justin Fields is the guy? So far, 53% of people saying winning a playoff game. That's what Art Rooney said at the end of last year. We'll ask Doug what he thinks when we come back. First, Fan Weather, brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, 24 Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 53.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.